It is 10 years since Kerry Packer died. Amazing that the 10 years has gone so quickly, and amazing the change that's occurred within the Packer empire since his son James took control. Would Kerry be happy with the direction, the significant change that's taken place? On the line is Michael Stahl. Michael Stahl is a journalist who wrote Kerry Packer, Tall Tales and True Stories, a great book on the life of Kerry Packer, and joins us this morning. G'day, Michael.
G'day, Clinton. Good to be with you.
I'm surprised it's 10 years, but life does go pretty quickly by us all. James made a comment last week that surprised many people, where he said that he now felt that he was closer to his father than ever before. Was James close to his father when he was alive?
It was an odd relationship, wasn't it? From all that we can gather from my research and everything from the book, he was certainly closer to his father than Kerry had been to his father. Kerry was sort of basically spent 4 years of his childhood with not much contact with his parents, and I think James was a little more taken in under his father's wing. But then equally, he was kind of nurtured by Al Chainsaw Dunlap. It was not your normal sort of relationship. I don't think. I think Kerry would have been a very, very hard taskmaster and a really hard marker. I think James himself said that quite recently.
For years, you actually worked for ACP in the Park Street headquarters there. The company has changed amazingly in the time that Kerry's now been gone. It was a media company. It's now a gambling institution, essentially. Do you think Kerry...
Gaming.
Entertainment. Yes. Well, I guess it's not a gamble for James because the house usually wins. Do you think Kerry, looking back, if he could, would be happy with the direction that James has taken the company in?
I've been thinking about this quite a bit, particularly now that James has been, spruiking Barangaroo in recent weeks. And I really think that Kerry would have. I was reflecting on back in 1972, Kerry actually sat in the back seat of a car with Rupert Murdoch. The two of them had been at a boxing match, not with each other. And they were talking about how they could sort of stave off Fairfax's dominance with its morning and afternoon papers. And Kerry, of course, his father at that point had the Daily Telegraph and Murdoch had the afternoon, the Daily Mirror. And they were sort of talking about how they could combine forces. And eventually Kerry said, why don't you just buy the Telegraph? And he had actually been pushing for that for a long time. His father had acquired that paper 36 years earlier. Kerry hated it. And he eventually convinced his dad, who was only 2 years off dying, that it was a good deal. And he said, my father, it tore him to shreds, but he realised that it was a good deal and to sell the Daily Telegraph for $15 million at that point in time. And so I think sentiment, and this has been my experience with a lot of business people that I've met, pretty much everything has a price. Sentiment can be pretty easily bargained away. I think Kerry would have seen the way that media is or has gone. He would look at that and sort of say, well, it's a difficult business to make a shilling out of these days. So by all means, get into something else. And in fact, it was only a few months ago, James himself said, he had no regrets about being out of media because it wasn't scalable, to use his word, internationally, the way that, that his IT and, entertainment, sort of resorts business are. And it's true. How do you take, magazines and media global on the same scale that he's done with his other businesses.
And James has been reasonably successful at that in the way he's expanded into Macau, for instance. Did Kerry have international ambitions in the same way James clearly has?
I think he had a lot of international interest, certainly. He teamed up with Jimmy Goldsmith back in the 70s and they were forever trying to sort of take over this and that, some big companies too, Goodyear being one that comes to mind. But I think he certainly had his heart far closer to, far more in Australia. James, I think, is more of a, Rupert Murdoch is probably more of a role model than Kerry, or more of a template, I suppose, when you look at the way that James has taken things. So, Kerry had his heart very much in Australia. James probably does too. But yeah, as I say, I think Rupert Murdoch's probably more of a template there.
Do you think something's missing from Australian business since the passing of Kerry Packer and even an Alan Bond, although very different characters, that maybe we don't have those still larger-than-life characters we had back in the 70s and 80s?
Oh, mate, don't you? Don't you think?
Yeah, so? I do. I think something's missing.
I was just reflecting that, so who did, when James, here's a real quick question, James sold PBL, the print and television empire, to who?
Well, it was a private equity for a while there, so I couldn't tell you who the boss was.
Yeah, it was called CVC Capital Partners or something. The correct answer is who cares? But who owned it before that? Kerry bloody Packer, and just to have such a dominant figure and such a hands-on fellow and a visible entrepreneur and all of that. I mean, he was a real gosh, why am I struggling now to think of the name?
Well, he had a real love of television. From everything I've ever been told about Kerry Packer, he loved watching TV.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that came from, just look at who he was. I mean, he was dyslexic. He was not academically, great by any stretch. And he was somebody who thought in images. And he was made for television. And so, which is why he grasped that and really did such a great job with, the network that he ran really did set the standard for a very long time for the industry. And of course, he was very early into pay TV. As well, and he watched phenomenal amounts of television, he was like a one-man quality control department, and everybody was terrified of the guy.
Well, there's always the famous Doug Mulray story, isn't there?
Oh, exactly, yeah.
Does James
have been pulled off on television by Kerry Packer? Yeah.
Does James have that same passion for his business interests? I mean, is he obsessed with casinos?
Well. Yeah, I'm not sure because I don't follow the casino thing as closely, but I think James has been more visibly good at sort of, accumulating sort of really capable people around him, lieutenants. And he, I know, has an incredible mind for all of the figures and all of that. And he seems to also have adopted Kerry's trait of going public himself, granting rare interviews and stuff when it's strategically advantageous to do so, to go on TV. I mean, to sound horribly cynical about it, to go on TV and, shed a couple of tears, or most recently to say, Barangaroo is a tribute to my father. I mean, there's quite a bit of brinkmanship in that sort of stuff, of course, and his father was really good at that. But, I don't know. I certainly don't think of him as the same sort of absolutely dominant kind of character, but he, like his father, has his fingers in so many pies. I mean, thinking of Rat Pack Entertainment, all these so many films recently have been coming out, and he's now getting big into cyber security. And he's on a different scale from Kerry. He really is. So it's probably difficult, unless you're Rupert Murdoch, to keep your hands on everything.
Yeah, it's certainly a remarkable family, and really so much has happened in that 10 years since Kerry Packer passed away. I'd say he would be looking down pretty proud of his son.
Oh, he'd have to be, yeah. And I think only recently, James said one of the last things that his father said to him was, you've got to live your life your way. And I think James, with far more than a passing nod to his dad, and the way that his dad did things, I think James is doing that. And, I mean, he's taken things to a scale that Kerry never kind of reached, which is a big call. But no, James is. And it's also interesting to just reflect on, five, six, 7 years ago, James looked like, this didn't look like it was going to happen.
No.
People were really happily taking pot shots at him then, but it seems to be turning around and... part two or part three, part four, actually, of the Packer dynasty.
And no doubt will make for future good reading when you write another book on the family and future television series if we see how's that Mark 3 or 4 down the track. Thanks for your time today, Michael.
Thank you very much, Clinton. All the best.
Michael Stahl, who is the author of Kerry Packer, Tall Tales and True Stories.